Good afternoon. You're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM and www.resonancefm.com on the net. And today's program features the music of the Red Crayola. I'm specifically interested in the collaboration between the Red Crayola and Art and Language, which sort of started in about 1976. But the Red Crayola and Art and Language, in fact, go back to the 60s. Red Crayola started in Houston, Texas, in the mid-1960s. And reading from the sleeve notes of their first released LP, The Parable of the Arable Land, the Red Crayola were the notorious self-styled bastard sons of the hippie dream. They successfully alienated themselves from the local music scene by assaulting audiences with free-form anti-rock noise and then effortlessly secured a prized record deal. Quite how they did that is a mystery, but there were plenty of accomplished unsigned bands in Houston who knew the chord progression to satisfaction, and the Crayola certainly didn't. In fact, because they were proud of the fact that they couldn't play their instruments properly, it only caused further long-term resentment and outrage. Their increasingly uncompromising performances became so extreme that the local rock clubs refused to rebook them. The shows consisted of everything from hammering a huge rock, razor blades across cymbals, to the participation of their infamous auxiliary freeform freak-out faction, the Familiar Ugly, a gang of cronies who banged, smashed and clanged anything to create a barrage of sound. And I suppose that sort of puts them in line a bit with the Warhol, Plastic Inevitable and Kesey's Acid Tests, who were doing similar things and are in this, in the centerfold sleeve of this The Parable of Arable Land. There's a sort of mass group photograph showing sort of 49 participants who would all take part in this performance called The Familiar Ugly. Well, there's so many tracks to play that in order to bring it up to the period when they collaborated with Art and Language, the conceptual art group, who were also somewhat, what should we call it, diverse. They're past members and associates. And there's a great long list. If you look at Wikipedia, there's a great list of people, some of them quite unlikely, including filmmaker Catherine Bigelow. But it starts with Terry Atkinson, Ian Byrne, Sarah Charlesworth, Joseph Kossuth, Terry Smith, and Mayo Thompson. Mayo Thompson is featured in an article on the Red Crayola, Mayo Thompson's Velvet Revolutions, and that there was an article on him in The Wire in August 2005. And there's quite a long sort of piece about Mayo Thompson and his collaboration with Red Crayola. When I first met Art and Language, Thompson recalls, I gave them a copy of my solo album Corky's Debt to His Father. And they said, it's kind of personal, isn't it? I said, something wrong with that? You've got another idea? They said, yeah, we could try a whole new thing. I said, okay, give me some lyrics and I'll put them to music and we'll see what happens. Next thing I know, I get four pieces of text through the mail. Sure enough, when I started working on it, I thought, this is a new language for me. I was also convinced by that time that you could put anything to music language-wise, so I thought, yeah, let's see. Art and Language is a still active cell of UK provocateurs whose text-based pieces combine context-specific installations, manipulated syntax, and a rigorous self-referential aspect in order to explode the cultural and political status of art and artists. Thompson is a garage punker from Texas. But somehow this unlikely dialectic of brains and rock brawn conspired to birth a post-punk take on the kind of restlessly smart dynamic that had previously fueled the more interesting Canterbury scene and rock in opposition records. Across albums like 1976's Corrected Slogans, which I hope to build up to, probably next week, because there'll be so many tracks to play this week. That's Art and Language and the Red Crayola Corrected Slogans, 1976, which bizarrely actually went into two editions. One was actually, well, it was later issued in 1982. According to some people, of course, they are probably the most pretentious lyrics ever put to pop music or rock music, whatever you want to call it. Well, let's start off with some tracks from The Parable of the Arable Land, dating from 1967. This is the Red Crayola.
Thank you.
Well, those are two tracks from The Red Crayola with the familiar Ugly, The Parable of Arable Land, and that was their first released LP. Now, I suppose those are two of the more inaccessible tracks. In fact, there are a series of about eight songs. Each one is sort of interspersed with something called Free Form Freak Out, number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And then that track is the title track, Parable of the Arable Land. I suppose I should play one of the more kind of, another track called A Hurricane Fighter Plane, which was covered by the Cramps. And this is sort of, you can hear more or less the influences of the period, more the sort of hippie Jefferson Airplane, even the Birds, 8 miles High, that sort of thing is at least discernible in this next track. By December 66, the band's material was entirely self-generated and comprised of a handful of songs combined with improvised pieces. By February 67, free pieces were the group's staple, and any interested audience members were invited to participate. The impromptu pieces became performance art happenings, which eventually took on a separate entity called the Familiar Ugly to differentiate them from the band's work. The idea of blurring the boundary between audience and performer was something that was also being explored at Ken Kesey's Acid Tests and Andy Warhol's Exploding Plastic Inevitable. The idea was that the audience would participate while being bombarded by a disorientating barrage of sound, volume, flashing lights, and psychoactive drugs. This built on the then popular idea of collective experience through participation instead of individual entertainment, and the fact that the audience was the happening. The Red Crayola performances took the idea of chance, improvisation, and happening a stage further as the performer and audience physically became one entity. Okay, well, the next track is what might be called sort of more accessible, and this is Hurricane Fighter Plane. Where I want to go, doesn't matter when all it rains. Yes. Ends rather abruptly there. Not quite sure why. But the this particular CD, the Parable of Arable Land, is certainly one for anoraks, because it actually includes the whole thing also in mono. You get two CDs, one in mono, one in stereo. The stereo one apparently is has been tweaked afterwards to make it more. It should originally have been stereo, but they lost the tapes or something and they made it mono. And then there are also unreleased tracks, including unreleased alternative stereo edit and mix tracks. All right. So after that, they moved towards, perhaps started to edge closer to what they would do with Art and Language later, with their following record, which is called God Bless the Red Crayola and All Who Sail With It, or In Her. I can't read it. All Who Sail With It. And so these become sort of less tuneful, shall we say. Track four from God Bless the Red Crayola and All Who Sail is actually only 6 seconds long, and it's called Listen to This.
Listen to this.
Okay. And that's it. So we'll go back to track three on this. Also, God Bless the Red Crayola and All Who Sail In Her, with it.
To see her, ask her to let me in. She has what's inside it is so good. I know I will come again now in my baby room.
Those two tracks were from The Red Crayola and All Who Sail With It, which was originally released in 1968, and then re-released as a limited edition. Can't even see the label, actually. Nope. That's going to bring us up to the art and language period of 1976. The Conceptual Art Group, if there's anyone from art and language listening, you're more than welcome to come in and explain. So that's Wavelength for another week. So we're going to play out with a couple of tracks from Corrected Slogans, Art and Language and the Red Crayola, Corrected Slogans, 1976. The titles of the tracks are such as Petrichenko, Don't Talk to Sociologists, What Are the Inexpensive Things the Panel Most Enjoys, It's an Illusion, Penny Capitalists, and so on. So here we go with Red Crayola and Art and Language.
The insecurity of crystalline political superstructures as a consequence of economic crisis and social conflict is not in itself a new form of social organization making deep changes in the social project. Unless a conscious socialist transformatory alternative develops, the result of crisis must be a further entrenchment of reaction and the growth of mass repression in lieu of solutions to society's problems. The ruling classes are universally appraised of such prospects. In the non-industrial countries, the only growth industry is military. And in the industrial, advanced countries, there is a vogue for discovering and eliminating dangers within, and an increase in hysterical, repressive legislation. The ideal is now the strong and opaque state, where repression keeps workers in line and activists harassed, entangled in a charade, tolerated up to a point. The point is that at which the activists start being themselves, cease to resemble traditional reformist organizations. The latter are, in any case, afforded space in which to operate and to mystify. For the ruling classes to want such regimes is one thing, to achieve them, quite another. The workers can move to the center of political events rapidly and surprise the ruling classes with their economic power. This, even when the working class as such is a minority. But the prospect remains bright for the authoritarian right. For this, both the reformist parties and the peasant-fixated 1960s revolutionaries are to blame. What is needed is an integration of the ideology of socialism, socialist transformatory sections, with the industrial working class. Socialist working class solidarity is historical leadership identity.
I want to be free, free like a bird in a tree. My viewpoint is sociological and historical. I want to be free, free like a bird in a tree. Three times right power in the USA. Three times right power in the USA is a ridiculous idea.
Material conditions of change, derange, Objective contradictions, independent contradictions can't grow. Three times riper in the USA is a ridiculous idea. Say V and D are fundamental. D should be S, but it's inconsequential. C is constant capital, V is varied capital, D is surplus value. C is the produced means of production, V is wages, and D is his excess of the net production. Profit rate is D over C, plus V is a long-term tendency, C is constant capital.